Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
You are listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. You know, I thought we were slowing down here with things we got going. No, just when I thought we were, we've cooked up a bunch of stuff now.
I know.
You and Beth are a bad influence, basically.
What?
Yeah.
We're good. We like to do things.
Let's see. I actually had to write out a schedule here for us. So tonight, Diane Grick will be live with us, Silver Creek Samplers. Diane Grick, who was the guest 2 weeks ago. So she will be with us live, and we'll talk about some of her designs and some of her stitching tonight. So that will be fun.
Yeah.
And then Friday, we have a special guest. Kim Young will be with us because it's a Friday night part of her September soiree and at Sassy Jack's. And then Kim will be with us, and we're working on a special guest for that. Haven't got it confirmed, so can't say who it is. But that'll be Friday night. And then Sunday, Trisha Nguyen will be our podcast guest from Thistle Threads. And Trisha then will be live with us next Wednesday. So that it was a tremendous conversation I had with Trisha. Fascinating the work she does, developing threads and keeping history alive and so on and so forth, all kinds of things. And then next Wednesday, then she'll be live. So we'll get to see some of her work and hear from her live and get more of that. So that's, and if you wonder about, just look up Thistle Threads. And Trisha is probably really well-known, more well-known than anything for her caskets, her stitch caskets projects. A lot of people have tried those or tried them, done them, finished them. They're beautiful things. But she's an endless source of information. So that'll be Sunday and next Wednesday.
Nice.
And then on the 28th, we're starting a new thing. Don't know how long this one's going to run. Don't know if it's going to be live. But on Monday nights, we're going to do Fiber Talk Monday Night Hearts. And it may be just as simple as we're just all going to say Monday nights, we're going to stitch hearts. But it all started with Gay Ann Rogers' Patriotica Hearts series, her four hearts.
Yeah, those are gorgeous.
Yes. Were you able to get those?
No, I didn't. I didn't try because I bought the Dawn to Dusk and I bought the Royal Garden and I have to stop somewhere.
So you stopped there. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But they're beautiful.
They are.
I drooled, but yeah, I had to put on the brakes because, you know.
Yeah. Self-control helps. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do that on Monday nights. We're going to say that if you want to participate, you stitch on hearts. And it doesn't have to be Gay Ann Rogers' Patriotica. You can do another Gay Ann Rogers heart. There are several of them if you own them. Or you can do another heart-based needlework. Doesn't matter. But the theme is hearts.
Nice.
And I'm toying with having some kind of a Zoom or some kind of a live session where people can sign in and have conversation. But for right now, we're just going to have the event. And how it manifests just has to be determined. I just haven't had time to look into what it's going to cost to set that thing, kind of a thing up. But so Monday Night Hearts is what we're going to do. And then we will have a hashtag, and then you post your progress on Instagram. That's for sure. So you work on your hearts thing and post your progress. FT Monday Hearts, that's what it is. FT Monday Nice. Hearts. And then that'll be our hashtag on Instagram so we can share what people have done, whether we have a live thing or not. Just not sure if we're going to do that. Too many live shows, so.
But they're fun.
So get your heart things together. So we're going to start that on the 28th of September, and that'll be so Monday Night Hearts, and we'll just let it run till we get bored. Or
Nice. Maybe
we never get bored. You never know.
Finish.
Jennifer, no, finish. What's that?
You'll never finish. No, I'm doing a wedding sampler for my husband and I, and it's a Doreen Jones cross stitch piece, and it's swans, and they make the heart shape whenever they are facing each other.
Right.
And then the larger piece is kind of a heart shape in a way. So
there you go.
That qualifies, right?
Darn right. Yep.
Yay.
You're in.
Yeah, we'll be married 20 years in December.
Outstanding. Wow.
I know. Doing good.
Yay for you. Yeah. Woo-hoo. You got a heart project. You're in.
Nice.
There it is.
Good
like,
stuff.
Like we're going to not let somebody in who isn't stitching hearts, you know?
It's just a theme. It gives you maybe you have something hanging out and you're like, oh yeah, okay, I could start that, you
right,
know?
Right. So,
gives you a reason.
So all the people who got the Gay Ann Rogers Patriotica hearts, we're going to have an effectively a weekly stitch along with that. And, then if you have a heart, anything else, two swans kissing, that counts.
There you go.
Yep.
Yes.
So that's coming up. And then this is the one we cooked this up. Yeah. Beth and Jennifer and I, long conversation, we cooked this up. So Avlia this week, Avlia, Krista West, is introducing a new design called Basket Weave. Beautiful design.
Yes. It really looks woven. It's amazing.
Yes. And it's meditative stitching. And so what the three of us cooked up is we're going to start October 4. It's a Sunday afternoon, and these are going to be live shows. Now, whether they're going to be Zoom or because of what we got planned, YouTube may not be the best vehicle.
Right.
So we've got to figure that out. I'll figure it out before then, and we'll have it announced. But anyway, so Sundays at 2 o'clock Eastern time. For 8 weeks, so we're going to run it right up to the Sunday before Thanksgiving. We are going to have a live show Sunday afternoon, Fiber Talk Meditates.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be meditative stitching. So what you got somebody who, you can do, what is it? We're going to have somebody who can do breathing, exercises, meditative breathing.
Right.
You got somebody who we might be able to use at least recorded material that is just meditation.
Right.
And
like real short, like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't, yeah, you're not going to
become. This isn't like half an hour.
Yeah, no.
You know. No. Just a snippet.
Just little bits, just to give you some idea. So breathing, yeah. Meditation, and then we're also working on someone who can give us simple stretching exercises for stitchers so that it's repetitive, you know, for repetitive stress.
Right.
And so the plan is to do it for an hour and mix those things in with quiet stitching and then conversation. So a real mixed bag over the course of an hour, all under the guise of meditative stitching.
Right.
So
yeah, I think it'll be fun. We'll see how it develops. It'll be interesting.
And that's going to be live. That's
right.
Going to be a live show. Just got to figure out the platform for that so that the most people can participate. But so that's going to start October 4, 2 o'clock Eastern time. So it'll be every Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And that's going to be fun. And I'm going to do the basket weave. Now, Krista West will be introducing this this chart this week, and she has put together three colorways. So she originally just had one colorway, but then when we cooked this thing up, we asked her to put together two other colorways. So you can do one of those, or it's a pretty simple pattern. There are, what, four colors? Is that right, Jennifer?
Five.
Five. Five colors. And so you can just make up your own combination. I mean, this is, you can do it from stash, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, but she put together three, so you'd have a choice, and then, you can do your own. So, and it's a beautiful piece, and it's the kind of thing where you can make it just as big as you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what are you doing?
Whatever.
What are you doing with yours?
What I'm going to do, I need a little footstool for my little dog, Sophie, to jump up onto the sofa with. And I've been kind of thinking about it for 2 or 3 weeks. And then this came along. I was like, oh, that's perfect What I'm going to do is I have this cotton, these huge cotton spools of weaving cotton that I had bought a couple years ago to make like kitchen towels on my loom. I never did it because I just, I don't know, something else caught my eye. It just didn't happen, you know. So I went down and I was looking, and this weaving cotton, it can put, you know, it can take a little bit of wear and tear because it's meant to be washed over and over and used in the kitchen and not fall apart. So I thought that doing a basket, instead of doing cross stitches, do it more of the tent stitch, mm-hmm. I guess is what it is, just the half of the cross, you know?
Right.
And do that on, I'm using 14 count Aida, and make a cushion cover and make my own footstool for Miss Sophie.
There we go.
Because she is spoiled. So yeah, so I played around with my with the colors I had. I've got two shades of green, two shades of purple, and a gray.
Yeah, you already have your color scheme all put together. Yep.
I do. Like, we talked about it, and then that night I couldn't sleep, and I had to go down to the basement and look at all my fiber and decide what I was going to use, and then I could sleep. But then the next morning I got up, and instantly I pulled out all my stuff and started playing with what, you know, what colors are going to go where, because you can use the same colors and the different ways you place them creates a completely different pattern.
Yeah.
So, which is really cool. And then I got out my quilting software and put the pattern in there and switched the colors around to make it go faster instead of having to stitch it all, you know?
Yep. But yeah, so, okay. So you're going to do tent stitch. So basically you're going to do basket weave.
Mm-hmm.
Needlepoint basket weave, but I didn't know you were going to do it on Aida.
Yeah, I'm going to do it on Aida. It makes it kind of flexible, and I had some Aida to play with, and I had some other canvas I played with, and it was too loose. And you know, I went to the store and used a coupon and got a big, huge piece of Aida for like $5.
Oh,
so I didn't have to spend a lot of money, and I don't have to have big, ginormous stretcher bars.
Right.
I have a couple dowel rods, so I am going to make roller bars to put this on. But I already have the dowel rods, just have to cut them and do it. Yeah. Easy. So.
Well, the colors you chose are beautiful. I mean, well, they're what you had, yeah. But they come together, yes, quite nicely. Yeah.
Yes, it's what I had, and I had bought it all to go together into some sort of a kitchen towel. So, yeah, I'll have to put a picture. And then, so what I did, because I have those huge cones, which isn't, you know, I'm not going to have those huge cones sitting around, I took some cardboard and cut these large spool cards and then wound a bunch of it onto the spool cards so that I just have little spools of my thread instead of the huge cones hanging out everywhere.
Oh, so you actually made it manageable. Yeah.
Yes, because otherwise I was like, I don't have room for these things to sit out all the time. And,
yeah,
you know.
Yep. So that's going to be neat. And then Beth, I think Beth is not going to do, I think she's going to do, she has another meditative thing she wants to work on. But okay. It doesn't have to be the Avliya thing, though I love it. And I think it looks great. And I'm anxious to get started on it. And you've already found an adaptation for it.
Yes.
But, you know, meditative stitching, it's stitching that you can stitch without constantly referring to a chart. That's the idea. Yep. And then we're going to add in some other things to help you expand your meditative abilities. And then I'm a firm believer that, we need to, do more moving around while we're stitching, you know, stitch for a while, yep, get up, move around, because I think too many people complain about hands and shoulders and arms.
Right.
And it's sitting for hours and stitching and not getting up and doing something else. Yep. And
I also get massage. I'm a member at Massage Envy, and every 2 weeks I go get massage.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing that for about 8 years, and what a difference.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's not that expensive if you have a membership. And yeah, it really helps, especially the shoulders and the neck area. And helps keep you from getting tension headaches and,
mm-hmm,
and then, you know, your forearms and stuff too. And
yeah.
So, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, all those things come into play. So we're going to bunch them all into Sunday afternoon shows, Fiber Talk Meditates.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Yeah. And, you know, you need something to relax you. And when I was doing these little swatches, you definitely get in the zone.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it's really simple. And you just get in the zone and go. And time flies. And you're like, wow. Look how much time went by, and you do get kind of in a zone and just go.
Yep. Yep. So we're going to do that. And Krista West will be there for the first show on the 14th to talk to us about meditative stitching and inspiration for the thing. So a short little visit with her, and then we're just off and running. So every Sunday all the way through till Thanksgiving, so 8 weeks, all the way to the week before Thanksgiving, we're going to do this. And so it should be not only fun stitching, but also beneficial and expand your awareness, I guess it is, of what needs to go on with needlework besides simply moving a thread and needle. Yeah.
Yep. Take care of your mind and body.
Yep.
And make something awesome. And, you know, Avlia, she likes to do things that are useful in the house.
Yes.
Is what she, so my whole cushion thing, it works perfectly with her overall theme.
Yep.
Make useful things for the home that are beautiful.
I'm looking at some kind of something that goes under a lamp or something.
Right. Yeah. Like a table runner or something.
Yeah. That. So.
No, Sophie.
Sophie has joined
us.
What?
Because guess what just got delivered?
What was
that?
My
royal garden. That was my front door. Oh. My royal garden just came. And I'm not letting it sit outside, so I'm getting it right now.
All right.
Woohoo! Awesome.
Excellent.
Yes, so now I get to play with that later. Sorry
well
about
done.
The door.
Yeah, a little oil there would help.
Yes, I know. There it is, my big old tube from Sassy Jack's.
All right.
Woohoo!
She's off and running. Yep.
Yes, exciting.
Yay. Yay.
Yep, I knew that was coming today. I just didn't know it'd come while we were on.
Well, that's all right.
So, but hey.
It's all right.
So, it goes with the theme. So.
It certainly does. So thanks to Kim. You're
yes.
armed. Yep.
I know.
So, and since we're on these Royal Garden issue, I had to start over.
Aw.
Well, I didn't have to, but I chose to. Because when I was stitching and I finished the waffle stitches in the center core there, I sat back and I thought, that thing is not square.
Uh-huh.
And I knew the stretcher bars were square when I put it on there, but I didn't check the canvas. Or I thought I'd check the canvas, because I always do. And either I just forgot or got sloppy. I don't know what happened. But anyway, it was not square. And that's so big that if I could see it out of square with that center 6-inch block, by the time you get out bigger, you know, I just felt like it was really going to be out of whack. And so I put my square on it. And if I line up a horizontal canvas thread, then the vertical thread by over the course of a foot, and these are 18-inch canvases, over the course of a foot, was angled off by 3 holes.
Oh.
Yeah, it was noticeable.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, what is that? I never considered canvas being out of square.
Hmm.
And so then I went and got my Dawn to Dusk canvas. Sure enough, it's out of square.
Huh.
And then I thought, well, what's going on? How come I've never noticed this before? So then I got some other projects. Not that I don't have several projects in the works. But I got 4 other projects out that are partially done. 3 of them are dead on square. The canvas is just dead on square.
Hmm.
And the other one is really out of whack. Like 4+ threads out of square. And so that, you know, so then for me, I want that square. I mean, I work to have the stretcher bar square and everything.
Right.
So then I start tugging on the Royal Garden thing, thinking, all right, with tacks and a little muscle, I can get this thing to square up. But no, no, it was not going to give. It was simply not going to give. So it was, all right, stitch it and finish it that way or get another canvas. And it was just going to bug me to no end. I could just tell it was just going to drive me nuts looking at that thing and it wasn't square. And so I just threw it away. And got another canvas. You know, Welcome Stitchery, my local store, came to the rescue. Monica had canvas and threads. And so I got those the next day. And by golly, that canvas is not square either.
Huh. Is it just, do you have to pull it more?
No.
Or?
No, because you can't, it's stiff. I mean, it's starch stiff. So no. You can't just pull it because that's what I thought I would do. And then I thought, all right, I'm going to keep pulling on this. And pretty soon I'm going to have this canvas that's all stretched and the edges are all wonky. And so I asked people, and apparently this is an issue anymore. You got to watch your canvas that they're not always going to be square. And it's become more and more of an issue. And when they finish the canvas and roll it on those big rolls to ship out, it doesn't always stay square.
Oh.
And the only reason I worry about it and care about it is I don't want someone blocking my piece at the end if it's going to be framed.
Right.
You know, I think I should be able to put it on square, hold it square through the whole stitching process and take it off and not have to have it blocked. And I even went and got out my Anasazi song, which is finished.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if this thing is not square, I'm going to scream because I know I had checked it. And now it's been sitting in a drawer for months now. And I put the square on that. It's dead on square. So there's no need to block it in any way, shape or form.
Right.
And that's what I want. So then it was, all right. And I posted on Needlepoint Nation and it became clear that the only way it was going to get square, this new canvas, was if I blocked it.
Okay, and that involves water, right?
Right, right.
Because I'm kind of a newbie. I mean, I've done those couple of painted canvases, but this is my first time ever doing counted needlepoint. I've never done it before.
Yeah.
So I'm new.
Well, all right. So I don't have a blocking mat and pins.
Okay.
You know, because that gets to the blocking board with the grid on it that you would use for knitting or crochet or needlework, actually, any of it.
Right.
So I thought, all right, then I'm going to wet and thoroughly wring out a washcloth. And I'm going to tape my canvas down on my table.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just going to lay the washcloth on there and lightly wet the canvas to see if it will give and see how much it will give. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Well, that works.
You don't want to totally soak it because then it'll take everything out and make it floppy.
And that was my concern.
Right. Okay.
Right. And that was my big concern is I didn't want to lose the stiffness of the canvas.
Right.
So I did that, but I wasn't smart. I was laying the cloth over the thing and going around corner to corner to corner and ignored the fact that the middle was getting wetter than the edges.
Oh dear. Yes.
It's like, what do I know? I'm just faking it here. It's a Sunday night and I'm faking it. So anyway, it got wet enough that I could then adjust it. Okay. And I could get it. I could get it adjusted square. Okay. So then I had tape. I had my artist tape and I had painter's tape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't stick well to canvas, particularly if it's wet.
Right.
So that wasn't holding particularly well. So then I got out duct tape and kept it in the three inch margin. So I knew that if any glue got stuck on there, that it would be in the 3-inch margin, but I did not want to use duct tape. I got it square enough, like closer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then it wasn't evenly wet, so it was drying funny.
Ah.
And it started to bubble up.
Oh, dear.
Like there were, you know, just raised spots mm-hmm. that had dried faster or wetter or whatever. So it was not yeah. drying evenly, and it was not held evenly because I didn't have tape, you know, the entire right. way around.
And because you don't have the same amount of sizing right. in each section,
right.
it loosens the fibers in an uneven manner.
Right. And I had yeah. to wet it evenly, you know, which, so that's why people spray it. That's why people spray water on, is to control how wet it gets.
Right.
So anyway, I taped it, got it as square as I was felt I was going to get it, and left it overnight.
Okay.
So it was thoroughly dry. So in the morning, I went back, took the tape off, and it came right off. It wasn't, I didn't have to worry about glue.
Oh, good.
So that worked out. But it had dried unevenly and was kind of wavy.
Hmm.
So I thought, okay, all right. At least I got it. I can put a square on there, and it's pretty close. But some of the threads are wavy. All right, so I'll put it on the stretcher bars, and with some muscle and some tacks, let me see how I can do.
Right.
And so I got it. It's within a half a hole to a hole square over a foot distance.
Oh, that's
so
good.
You know, I'll take that.
Yeah, that sounds almost perfect.
Right. And then it's the warps and the wefts in spots are wavy, but I pulled and tugged and got them fairly straight,
mm-hmm.
like not noticeable. And then I'm using the adjust-a-frame stretcher bars. So then I got it on there, and then I turned the screws to expand it out. And I got it. It's certainly usable. It's much, much better than it was. And it's certainly usable. It did lose some of the, stiffness though.
Right.
And so I stitched last night. I stitched the, Scotch stitch square that you start with.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was making my way around, the canvas was getting a little loose in the center. But with the adjust-a-frame things, I was able to tighten it up, and it's now drum tight, and it seems to be staying there. So I have a canvas. I have a canvas that I can stitch on. It's square, and so I feel like I can go forward.
Nice. So here's a question: when you eventually get this thing done and you take it off, are those funky spots gonna pucker and do things that you don't want it to do?
I have no idea.
I'm just asking. I haven't a clue. Some professional needlepoint person will probably know.
I hope not. And I hope that as a function of it being stretched drum tight over the course of time, mm-hmm. that will give out.
Right.
And then I'll be okay.
Then I was wondering too, can you take like those places that lost some of the sizing, can you use like starch, like spray starch or something to stiffen it back up? Is that what they use? Is that like, could you spray a little bit of spray starch in that area?
See, I'm not sure. It's my understanding that you can't do it effectively because the sizing they put in permeates the threads.
Right.
So to put it on the surface is really just kind of Band-aid over.
What if you put something hard and that won't soak it up behind it in that little section, like a piece of plastic or something, and then kind of sprayed it or spot, like you could spray some of the spray starch in a bowl and take a Q-tip and spot do it so you could really soak those threads
mm-hmm.
and then let them dry? I mean, I don't know. Is this something that can be done?
I don't know either. That would take somebody with a whole lot more expertise than my guesswork has.
Yeah.
So.
Or you'd have to take a scrap piece of canvas, do the same thing to it, and then try it and see what happens.
Yeah.
You'd have to do an experiment. You have to put your science brain on.
I know. Well, and I thought about that, and you know, I thought, well, I'm just going to try. And I really shouldn't be just experimenting with an 18 by 18 piece of canvas because, you know, it's not cheap. And, but I just went for it. And right now, I mean, I stitched that and, the stitching is dense enough throughout that project that I think it's going to be fine.
It'll support it.
Yeah.
Kind of.
But I could still get the tension I want on the thread. So it wasn't, I didn't feel like it had weakened it. I don't know. I just don't know.
Right.
Maybe, maybe next week I'll talk to when I talk to Debbie next Wednesday, we'll see what she has to say. But but yeah. She chimed in on my post and said it sounded like in the past couple of years that she eats through a lot of needlepoint canvas that mm-hmm. She said it had gotten rougher and it's out of square more often than not. So, so I think it's something, if you care about that kind of thing, and I think you should, it's something to watch, and obviously better to block a canvas before you stitch on it than afterwards.
Right.
Because then you don't risk the bleeding of colors and threads that won't hold up to getting wet and that kind of thing. So.
Right. Yeah, I've been looking at my Dawn to Dusk one while you're talking here. I can kind of like put it in the light and turn it sideways and see the lines. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's pretty good.
Okay.
It looks like I got it on here good.
So, yeah, you're probably okay.
So you know what I did? Because I'm new to this and she said to measure in 4 inches and then that's where you start with the red X.
Yeah.
So I measured in from the inside corner of the stretcher bars and I did it. And it was off center. It wasn't on there. Like I did 3 rows of just the cross stitches. And then I was like, that doesn't look right. It's not going to be centered.
Yeah.
So then I realized that you have to include the canvas that is behind the stretcher bars that you tacked on in that measurement.
Right. Right.
See, and I didn't know that because this is my first time. Oh. But so I had to take out some of my cross stitching and start over.
Oh.
On that.
Oh.
But you know, I learned. I should have known. I should have figured. I don't know. After I did it, I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. Duh. But
yeah. Hey. You learn. No, yes. I always find the center before I mount the canvas.
Oh, okay.
I find the center and mark it, and then if it's now like Royal Garden, you don't start in the middle. And Dawn to Dusk, she gives you a starting spot. So,
right.
But normally I would start upper left. And so then, I find the middle, and mark that. Then I find the top center and mark that. And then I find the top left from there.
Oh, okay.
So I have 3 spots that give me a reference before I start. And I always mark with thread. I just take a little piece of floss I don't care about and tie it. I don't mark it with, I don't like marking on canvas if I don't have to.
Exactly.
So that's what I do, but I do all that before I mount it. Deal with it.
Because I do my thing, you know, that I do with the cross stitch with the X and Y, but for this, I just followed her instructions, but then I measured wrong the first time.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not right. You have to take all that out. Start over.
Yep. Well, you learn. But
now I'm going to town.
Yeah, yours is looking beautiful. But, you know, people laugh at me. But my favorite way to find the corner is to cut a couple of strands of floss. And I lay the canvas on the table. And then I tape the floss and make a big X corner to corner and corner to corner.
Oh, uh-huh.
And that gives me the center.
Yeah.
And there are other ways to do it. But for me, that then I know right dead on where the center cross is. And so I do that, and then I count up and over to find the other things. But, I always do that on an unmounted canvas. Then I know I'm in the center of the canvas, regardless of how it's cut. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that way, like with cross stitch and linen and stuff, you have to make sure that the edges, that they're all... You know, sometimes it's cut and it's cut wonky.
Right.
And you have to pull out all the threads on the edge until there's one big long thread. So you know it's straight.
Yep.
And do you have that problem with needlepoint canvas?
I do it. I do the same thing. it's not always cut. The edges are not always cut square because most of the time they just cut it with scissors. No, I go to all the trouble of squaring up any ground cloth I use. I don't care what it is, but canvas. Yeah. I cut it, trim it and tape it so that I know those sides are all square and, they aren't cut wonky. And I'm sure people, laugh and go, wow, what a waste of time.
No, not at all.
But I'm a firm believer. I think that prep work is worthwhile.
And, yes, because sometimes it's hard to see it. And you think it's square, but then you start really looking and it's not. And what if you start, I mean, I always start in the middle and do my X and Y. A lot of people, though, don't do that. And then if you start and you start going down and you run out of fabric.
Right.
Because you didn't pre-check.
Yep.
You know, so you've got to do that, making sure it's perfectly square before you start. So you know you're starting in the right place, no matter how you start.
Yep. I'm a firm believer. I mean, to me, it's like any project, your prep work pays off, and and it really isn't that painful to do, and it's actually kind of meditative to get it together. But yeah, I make sure it was cut to the right size. I double check the size of the design to make sure I'm going to have 3 inches. I pull linen threads till I get one thread all the way top to bottom and left to right.
Yep, I do that too, on Aida too, linen or Aida.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
Then I serge it. I zigzag it because I don't have a serger, but I zigzag it to make sure it won't fray. And I do the same thing with needlepoint canvas. Yeah, I get all the threads organized, put them in bags, marked, everything. I mean, I make sure I have everything I need and I know where it's at and how it's at before I start. Yeah.
I like mine all organized too.
Yep.
I like it all organized. I bobbinate or I put my silk stuff in the little baggies.
Yep.
I keep it all organized. I don't like the, because your threads can get damaged, especially silk.
Right.
And I feel that needs to be protected. And I'm not one that likes to do the laying of the threads all over in a big pile. And
no.
That would make my brain explode. I can't handle that.
All my working threads for projects. I have a basket on the table, and that basket is where the threads go, and then they are covered with a towel, and they stay covered unless I'm using them. And I cover up the work that I'm working on. Yeah, I'd go to all the trouble, all that stuff. I think it's worth it. Somebody asked in one of the posts, and of course I didn't remember the name, but I did say I would talk about it, how I knew that the canvas was out of square. And I went and bought a square, like a carpenter's square, from Home Depot. I just bought a cheap one, and it's the long side is a foot and the short side is 8 inches. I think it is 6 inches, 8 inches. But anyway, it's small enough that it's, you know, I don't have to have a special hook for it or something. And so you just lay it on the canvas and just line it up. And if threads are lined up along the edges of the square, then it's square. But then I use that for stretcher bars too.
Right.
So I make sure that my stretcher bars are square when I put the canvas on, so that I'm not lining something up with something that's out of square and then pulling the canvas out of whack. So
I used my quilting rulers for that.
Yeah.
I have big, like, 9-inch square quilting rulers.
Yeah, okay.
And I stuck my quilting rulers in the corners and made sure that they all, like, on the inside, you know, stretcher bars, and made sure it was all square.
Yep.
Because that's what I had handy.
Yeah, well, as long as it's, you know, a square piece is square piece, so.
Right.
I mean, you can do it with a piece of paper, for crying out loud, if you want to.
Yeah.
But one thing I did think of when I was asked that question. So that's all it is, and I just keep that square. That's my stitching square, so it never it doesn't get hung in the garage and get all dirty or anything. So I know I can safely lay it on canvas and not worry about it damaging the canvas. But I just bought a cheap one. But I know one piece of advice is, if you're buying measuring tools like that, it's okay to buy the cheap ones, but check them and make sure that the square you bought for $2 is actually square.
Yeah.
In the store, okay, I'm going to buy a $2 one, but go hold it up against the $20 one and make sure they match.
Right.
Because you can buy a cheap one for needlework because it's hardly going to undergo any stress. But if it's not square, you know, it's just... And that's the same thing with tape measures, rulers. Yes. Check those things.
I've heard that with some of those cheaper tape measures you can get. check them against your high quality quilting rulers or whatever, and make sure that they line up, because they could be made in some other country that just didn't measure things right.
Right.
You know, so.
And if you get stuff that's a giveaway.
Right. Check it.
Yeah. Chances are it's not very accurate.
It's not always true, but it's worth checking, because I've run into that too.
Yep.
So.
No, it's you need to check that stuff, because at some point you just come to rely on it without thinking about it. And if that ruler, that foot-long ruler is off, and every time you measure, you're measuring wrong, then somewhere you're going to get caught and you're going to be frustrated. And
yeah.
I have I have that square, and then I was, as an editorial gift, I was given a very expensive Milwaukee tape measure. So, you know, Milwaukee Tools tape measure. So I know that thing is dead on.
Right.
And I keep that in my stitching, so it always stays clean, so I can use that anywhere. And so I have that, and then I have a metal pica pole, which is from the old days of putting together magazines, which is, you know, high precision thing. So I know that is dead on. So everything gets checked against that kind of thing. But any measuring tools, anything that's going to be figuring an angle or square or whatever, check it against something you know is accurate, because.
Right.
Imagine, you know, just quilting. Imagine if you cut something at an angle with a piece that's.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, you'd be just.
It does make a difference. It's amazing how sometimes just a thread can make such a difference.
Yeah.
In how things get put together.
Yep.
Depending on how intricate the piece is.
Yeah. So check those things. Yep. So mm-hmm. I wanted to, you have been cooking. Dawn to Dusk. You've been cooking right along on that. Tell us what the experience has been
like. Yeah. It's been fun. I've really liked it. I got my, you know, I put in all of the outlines for the stars first. And then I went and did the little, the fill-in medallions is what she calls them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. With the Jessicas, it's got that little button, and it's got the Jessicas, and then the outlining.
Yeah.
And those little outlinings around the Jessicas were kind of hard to figure out. Like, I had to play around with the placement, because, and you look at the diagram, and it kind of shows. So what I did is I came up in the middle, like it shows. And then I went to the corner. I didn't go all the way to the tippy top corner of the Jessica. I went to the next one under and kind of went under the Jessica.
Okay.
So that the three ones that come out of the center, so it kind of overlaps and it doesn't wing out.
Okay.
You have to look at one of my pictures really up close to see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I played with it a little, because I was like, I couldn't quite figure out how many threads to go over and stuff, but I think I've got it right. It looks good. It looks like it does in the
looks
pictures.
Looks good. Go with it. Looks good. Go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
But you're cooking right along. Yours is looking beautiful. We all knew it was a beautiful design, but then, you know, the stitching process then, is it going together the way you want it to? And it clearly is.
I did motif number one. It took me, I did a little bit on one evening. And then yesterday, while I was on the phone with my mom, I was just stitching away and got the rest of it done, you know? So it was just cross stitches and satin stitches and French knots and stuff. So it was easy.
Yes, Mom, I'm paying attention. Just, I can do two things at once. Just leave me alone.
I'm always doing like something while I'm on the phone with her, you know? I've got antsy hands. They need to be busy. So I pay attention better if I have something like this doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. And I got the beads on, and it's all, the first one's done.
Yeah. Well, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Thanks.
And several others have been cooking along on that thing. And really, it's a stunner. It really is.
It is. And it's fun. It's so fun. And because, you know, this is my first time doing counted needlepoint, and it's a blast.
Way to jump in the deep end.
Different. Well, yeah. You know. Well, it's all explained. And then the Royal Garden, you said that it's Debbie Rowley, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You said her instructions were so good that a beginner could do it. And I'm like, well, then sure, I can do that.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah.
I'm good at following instructions. So, and then you know that mystery needlepoint retreat they do?
Yes.
Is Debbie Rowley one of the ones who does that?
Absolutely is. Yep.
Yes, it's in Denver next year.
Yep.
And my family lives in Colorado.
Uh-oh.
I could combine it with a trip to see the fam.
There you go.
I have been, you talked about it a few years ago on
Yep.
Fiverr Talk, and I looked it up back then and I started following and stuff, and I have wanted to do that. And now that I've done some counted needlepoint, you know, I mean,
Right.
I was like, I can do that. They explain it. I'm fine. You
Yep.
know, I want to go to that.
That's one of I that is I still maintain that that is one of the coolest events that happens in the year.
Yeah.
Because
Yes.
four designers all with different styles combine and make one piece that you then stitch at the event, at the retreat.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so cool, and they make it work, and how they make it work is beyond me, but they do.
I
And
know.
yeah,
And
it's
then the different colorways, you can pick your colorway
yep.
because there's four colorways, right?
Right, yep.
And so you kind of, and you don't see the design before. You just have to like be like, okay, well, I like those colors and I'm just going to have to trust it's going to be awesome, which it
Yep.
always is.
Yep. Yeah, the first night is the reveal of the design.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
No,
I've been wanting to go to that.
it is just one of the best events ever. Because of that. You get to choose, all right, these are colors I like, and then you get the experience of that surprise. I mean, it's a needle, what is it? Needle Arts Mystery Retreat. You get the
Yes.
surprise of the design. But the fact that four very different designers combine and make a design and that it works is, I just think is really.
I know, it's awesome. And it just, and the pieces look so stunning because you can go on the Facebook group and look back at previous ones.
Right.
And oh, they're so pretty and amazing. And it just looks so fun
Yep.
because it's a whole lot of different stuff,
Yep.
which is just exciting. I
Yep.
love it. I so want to go to that.
Well, if the family's out
Oh,
there,
I know.
that's giving you your out right there. Gotta
Yes,
go.
it'll be like in July. They don't know when yet, but they just said it was in Denver and it'll be in July-ish sometime. And hopefully the quarantining will be released or gone by then. But even if, let's pretend that Colorado wants me to quarantine for 2 weeks after I come in from out of state, I could stay at my family's for 2 weeks, then go
Right.
up to Denver and do the thing.
Yep.
And then when I get home, if Connecticut wants me to quarantine, no big deal, I'm home.
Right.
So, like, I could do this.
It works.
Yes, I
Yep.
so want to go. So now I just have to watch and try to get in.
Yeah.
So,
Yep. No, that's just one of the great events. Yeah. Well,
yeah, that looks amazing.
sign yourself up.
I know. I've got my eye on it.
Yep. That'll be a good
So,
one. Yeah. Yep. And all of them, great ladies, really just terrific ladies, terrific designers. You'll get all the help in the world that weekend, stitching and yeah.
nice.
Good event. Yep. Really good
That
event.
sounds fun. The most difficult thing I've done is a Jessica. Now I'm about to start Royal Garden, so I'll start that double fan double action.
Yeah.
But I watched the video and I was like, oh, I can do that. So
Yep. You'll be
it'll be
fine.
fine. Yeah.
You'll be fine. Her
But
instructions are if not the best, certainly among the best by far, and you'll have no
nice.
trouble. Yeah.
Woohoo. Guess I'm playing with that today.
Yep, you win. It's a good day.
Yay. I know.
Yep. All right.
Exciting.
Jeez, how does this time go by? But it went
I
by.
know. It's because we have fun things to talk about.
That must be it. Must be
Yes.
it. Okay, so tonight, Diane Grick, Silver Creek Samplers, joins us live. Friday night, surprise guest. Kim's working on it. Sunday is Trisha Nguyen. And then next Wednesday is Trisha Live. So 1-2 with Trisha. And then the 28th is we begin Monday the 28th. We begin Fiber Talk Monday Night Hearts. So Find Your Heart Project. And more information to come on that. But at the bare minimum, we're just going to say that all wherever you're at, you're going to stitch on a heart project on Monday night and then post a picture of your progress.
Nice.
At the bare minimum. That's going to end. And FT Monday Hearts is the hashtag on Instagram. And then October 4, we start our 8-week series of Fiber Talk Meditates, where we're going to do meditative stitching and all the things that go with it. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, that'll be really fun.
Yep. There we have
it. That'll be exciting. Yeah. Sounds good.
All right. Other than that, we're just bored out of our minds.
Yeah.
Okay, I got work to do, and you have a Royal Garden to play with.
Yes, I do.
It's a good day.
Exciting. Yes. So happy.
Thanks for listening.
All right, bye.